You would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, this is God's Word. King Solomon loved many foreign women in addition to Pharaoh's daughter, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, and they must not intermarry with you, because they will turn your heart away to follow their gods." To these women, Solomon was deeply attached in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 who were concubines, and they turned his heart away. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away to follow other gods. He was not wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord his God as his father David had been. Solomon followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the abhorrent idol of the Ammonites. Solomon did what was evil in the Lord's sight, and unlike his father David, he did not remain loyal to the Lord. At that time, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abhorrent idol of Moab, and for Milcom, the abhorrent idol of the Ammonites, on the hill across from Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives who were burning incense and offering sacrifices to their gods. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had commanded him about this so that he would not follow other gods, but Solomon did not do what the Lord had commanded. Then the Lord said to Solomon, "Since you have done this and did not keep my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. However, I will not do it during your lifetime for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of your son's hand, yet I will not tear the entire kingdom away from him. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem that I chose." So the Lord raised up Hadad the Edomite as an enemy against Solomon. He was of the royal family in Edom. Earlier, when David was in Edom, Joab, the commander of the army, had gone to bury the dead and had struck down every male in Edom. For Joab and all Israel had remained there 6 months until he had killed every male in Edom. Hadad fled to Egypt along with some Edomites from his father's servants. At the time, Hadad was a small boy. Hadad and his men set out from Midian and went to Paran. They took men with them from Paran and went to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave Hadad a house, ordered that he be given food, and gave him land. Pharaoh liked Hadad so much that he gave him a wife, the sister of his own wife, Queen Tapenes. Tapenes' sister gave birth to Hadad's son, Genubath. Tapenes herself weaned him in Pharaoh's palace, and Genubath lived there along with Pharaoh's sons. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David rested with his fathers and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me leave so that I may go to my own country." But Pharaoh asked him, "What do you lack here with me for you to want to go back to your own country?" "Nothing," he replied, "but please let me leave." God raised up Rezin, son of Eliada, as an enemy against Solomon. Rezin had fled from his master, King Hadadezer of Zobah, and gathered men to himself. He became leader of a raiding party when David killed the Zobites. He went to Damascus, lived there, and became king in Damascus. Rezin was Israel's enemy throughout Solomon's reign, adding to the trouble Hadad had caused. He reigned over Aram and loathed Israel. Now, Solomon's servant, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, was an Ephraimite from Zereda. His widowed mother's name was Zeruah. Jeroboam rebelled against Solomon, and this is the reason he rebelled against the king. Solomon had built the supporting terraces and repaired the opening in the wall of the city of his father David. Now, the man Jeroboam was capable, and Solomon noticed the young man because he was getting things done. So he appointed him over the entire labor force of the house of Joseph. During that time, the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, met Jeroboam on the road as Jeroboam came out of Jerusalem. Now Ahijah had wrapped himself with a new cloak, and the two of them were alone in the open field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he had on, tore it into 12 pieces, and said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord God of Israel says. I am about to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I will give you 10 tribes, but one tribe will remain his for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city I chose out of all the tribes of Israel. For they have abandoned me. They have bowed down to Ashtoreth, the god of the Sidonians, to Chemosh, the god of Moab, and to Milcom, the god of the Ammonites. They have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my sight, and to carry out my statutes and my judgments as his father David did. However, I will not take the whole kingdom from him, but will let him be ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose and who kept my commands and my statutes. I will take 10 tribes of the kingdom from his son and give them to you. I will give one tribe to his son so that my servant will always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city I chose for myself to put my name there. I will appoint you, and you will reign as king over all you want, and you'll be king over Israel. After that, if you obey all I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, in order to keep my statutes and my commands as my servant David did, I will be with you. I will build you a lasting dynasty just as I built for David, and I will give you Israel. I will humble David's descendants because of their unfaithfulness, but not forever." Therefore, Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but he fled to Egypt, to King Shishak of Egypt, where he remained until Solomon's death. The rest of the events of Solomon's reign, along with all his accomplishments and his wisdom, are written in the book of Solomon's events. The length of Solomon's reign in Jerusalem over all Israel totaled 40 years. Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of his father David. His son Rehoboam became king in his place. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is a sad chapter. This is a sad turn of events. But as we said when we looked at the previous chapter, you could see that things were not headed in a good direction. Because some of the things that happened in Solomon's life were clearly just the blessing of God, but some of the things that happened in Solomon's life were disobedience to God. It's recorded for us as if wonderful things are happening, unless you know what God has said ahead of time. We read from the book of Deuteronomy that God said the king should not get a bunch of horses, and specifically should not go down to Egypt to get horses or send folks to Egypt to get horses. Solomon did that. Not only that, God told him back in Deuteronomy, do not amass for yourself tons of gold and silver. It's okay to have wealth, but you're supposed to share the wealth. You're supposed to use what you've been blessed with in order to bless others. And Solomon clearly went after wealth. And it was specifically forbidden for the king to amass for himself tons of wives. Well, Solomon had 1,000 wives. That's not just forbidden. That's crazy. That's utterly crazy. What kind of a relationship can you have with 1,000 women? 1,000. There are 365 days in a year. If you are the most macho man, you'd be running a parade through your room that would be between 2 and 3 wives a day. And at that rate, you'd only get to see each one once a year. That's not a marriage. That's a collection. And that's exactly what Solomon was about. It wasn't about having all these women as his wives. It was about having all these women as his wives. It was a total ego trip. It was completely selfish. It was unloving toward them, and it was disobedience toward God. But Solomon not only took for himself 1,000 wives, he took 1,000 wives from foreign nations. Nations that God had said, you're not to intermarry with them. Why? Is this some sort of racial prejudice? Not at all. It's about faith. These folks are pagans. They worship demons. And you are not to be linked with them because they will lead you astray. Oh, not me. No, I would never fall for that. No. You have no clue. I'm only in my 60s, but I cannot count the number of people who said to me, well, I would never fall for that. And then they fell. Well, that wouldn't happen to me. Well, I would never do that. I'm not the kind of person who... The reason God says don't do this is because God knows what we're like. And so God says, don't marry them. And some of you are thinking, well, is it okay to date them? Why? Why? Why would you want to date somebody who is clearly not a candidate for marriage? Well, so does that mean we can't even have a conversation with them? No, it doesn't mean you can't have a conversation with them. I took a gal who was new in the community to our church youth group. And as I've shared with you on a previous occasion, it turned out she was a Wiccan. Okay? But I didn't start dating her. I witnessed to her and then started praying for her, and we never went out again. But she came to the point where she recognized that my God is greater than the spirit forces she was in contact with. If you don't remember that story, ask me about it. I'll tell you sometime. I'm just telling you, it's okay to talk with people who don't know Jesus. Otherwise, you're never going to lead anybody to Jesus. But missionary dating? Uh-uh. No, no. Well, our youth group leader, he took non-Christian girls out on dates, and that's how he ended up with his wife. He led her to Christ, and then they got married. I've got a friend, wonderful guy. We were camping at Wiseman's View in North Carolina. It is a rock outcropping over a place called Linville Gorge. And he decided that instead of just standing on the rock and letting us take his picture, which is what people normally do, or sitting on the rock, letting us take his picture, which is also what people normally do, he had another idea, something he'd never seen anyone else do, but he thought he wanted to try it. Climbed down over this rock outcropping and hung like this so we could take his picture. We didn't know he was going to do that. He called to us and said, hey, guys, get a picture. And it's like, oh man, he's hanging there, hundreds of feet over the tops of the trees. Okay? I mean, it's just nuts. So we got his picture. And then he said, Uh-oh. Because see, the problem is now there's a rock between him and where he needs to be. Do you understand? Now, we prayed hard and God spared his life, but we couldn't pull him up because if we had taken his hand, there would have been two of us going down into the ravine. So the only way he could get back up was to swing his body back and forth like this in order to get to where he could finally throw a leg back up on top. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's like trying to tag hood ornaments on passing automobiles. It's just nuts. Okay? Don't do things like that. God had specifically, in the Old Testament, said, don't do this. And then, look, the Lord was angry with Solomon, verse 9, because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. He had commanded him about this so he wouldn't follow other gods, but Solomon did not do what the Lord had commanded. I'm just going to tell you the truth. The stuff that I've done wrong in my life wasn't because I didn't know better. You understand? It wasn't, I didn't know that. I'm sure there are some things that I've done wrong that I didn't know were wrong. But that's not my real problem. My real problem is doing stuff that I know I shouldn't do. Can you relate? Have you ever done anything you knew you shouldn't do? Have you ever thought, I really shouldn't do this? And you did it anyway? See, that's our problem. Sin is not an innocent misstep. Sin is rebellion against God. And all of us are guilty. Now, sometimes we, like sheep, wander off. Sheep aren't rebellious, they're just dumb. Okay? And we've got a lot of that in us too. But all of us have a problem with choosing to disobey God. And the penalty that all of us deserve is God's wrath. That's why the gospel is so absolutely amazing. That's why it is so shocking that God would say, I'm going to save these people. I never stop being amazed. I never get to the point where, well, yeah, now I understand. Now I see it. You know, I mean, I used to have low self-image, you know, low self-esteem. Now I realize, actually, that was all bad parenting. I am more wonderful than I ever imagined. Okay? No. The longer I live, the more disappointed in myself I am. The more I realize, oh my word, I thought I was doing that for good reasons. And now the Lord has just pulled back the curtain a little more and helped me to see that I was selfish through and through. When you're proud of your humility, you got a problem. All of us deserve God's wrath. The gospel is good news. Jesus came to save sinners. And if you think that because of your failings, you're beyond the pale, God can't reach you, he can't save you, you're wrong. Don't listen to that lying devil. Jesus came to save sinners. And so all of us qualify. Now, God, in his mercy, left Solomon on the throne. And please realize, The stuff Solomon was doing was the stuff that got the people who lived in that region killed so that the Jews could move in. God sent judgment on these nations because of the hideous, perverted, cruel, evil things they did in worship of their false gods, which the New Testament tells us, actually the Old Testament tells us too, are demons. They're worshiping demons. There really are spiritual beings that entice people to do really bad stuff. And that is what their worship amounted to, doing really bad things. Sexual perversion, human sacrifice, including child sacrifice. Demons want people to do hideously evil things. And so people would do those things as worship to those demon gods. Solomon started doing that stuff in his old age. That's another thing. Please watch out. Okay? Don't think that, well, you know, I'm now at the age where temptation really isn't strong. You're now at the age where you might make the most idiotic moves that you've ever made. And I'm preaching to me. Okay? Don't think that you get to the point where it's safe. If you think right now as a young person that, well, you know, that's easy for him to say. He's an adult. Or that's easy for him to say. He's a really old adult. Okay? What I'm telling you is we just move from one set of stupid mistakes to another. But you don't get to where, now it's okay. I'm really in no danger of sinning. The temptations do change. But the capacity for sin is not overcome by age. It's overcome by sanctification. It's overcome by dying to self and saying no to sin. It's not that you can't make progress. It's that progress isn't automatic. So, Solomon, in his old age, had gotten to the point where he built temples for the worship of demon gods, and he offered evil, perverted sacrifices in those temples. How heinous is that? Is that shocking? I mean, does that surprise you that he would do that? After all the ways in which God blessed him, after the abundance of blessing God poured into his life, why would he do this? God appears to him and says, don't do this. And he decides, well, I think I will. But I want you to see something else that was going on here. God was angry with him, but God let him stay on the throne. God's so much nicer than I am. I mean, if Solomon did this and I was God, we all better be glad. I mean, let's just put it this way, first of all, to set it in context. If I was God, I would not put up with Jim Wood. Is that clear? Okay. I mean, I don't want you to think, well, you know, yes, those other people he thinks deserve God's wrath. I do think those other people deserve God's wrath, but so do I. I deserve God's wrath. If I was God, or if God were like me, when Solomon did this stuff, I would have turned him into cinders. Just boom. But God said, for the sake of his father David, who's already dead, for the sake of his father David, I'm not going to take the kingdom away from him in his lifetime. And please notice, the Lord said to Solomon, the Lord told him that. And so Solomon repented and pleaded with the Lord. No. Solomon was like, okay. I want you to understand something else. You may think that the fact God hasn't turned you into cinders means that he doesn't mind the stuff you're doing. But you may be experiencing grace based on the love God has for somebody else. Try and process that. You think, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but I think I'm going to do it. And you do it, and nothing happened. So you do it again and again. Solomon amassed 1,000 wives. He had all these pagans. He's doing all these bad things. And it's like, well, I guess God doesn't mind that much. The reason Solomon was still living and still on the throne was not because God said, I really don't mind that much. I wasn't that serious about that sin stuff. I know I told you don't, but, you know, you did, and it's okay. No, the reason was out of love for Solomon's father, out of love for David, Solomon was allowed to stay on the throne till he died. And the kingdom was torn away in the lifetime of his son. We'll read about that in the future. Meanwhile, they went from an earlier period in Solomon's reign where there was tremendous blessing and peace all around, to now having enemies. Bunch of them. And you know what? God raised them up. God raised up enemies to make it less pleasant for Solomon and for the people of Israel. And please understand this. It's not like Solomon's doing all this bad stuff and the people are all saying, oh, Lord, please help us. Our king has gone off his rocker. The people followed right after him. They were doing this stuff too. The text mentions that. The people did it. Okay? Solomon led the people into sin. Heinous. They could have said no. They could have fasted and prayed and called on the Lord to deliver the king from evil. But instead, they just followed suit. And one of the people that God raised up was a guy who was very capable. And Solomon noticed Jeroboam, the young man, because he was getting things done. You like that? Would you like to be known that way? For the king to look and say, that's somebody who gets things done. So he appointed him over the entire labor force of the house of Joseph. But God sent a prophet to tell Jeroboam that he's going to be the king of 10 of the tribes. Now, you may say, well, why if there are 12 tribes and Solomon's son is only going to get to keep one, why does this guy have 10? I don't get the math. Because the Levites are not counted in that. Okay? They were going to serve everybody. So they're not part of the deal. I guess that's a suggestion that somehow the clergy are supposed to remain politically neutral. That's not really what I get from it. But I want you to understand something. When Solomon, who'd been warned by God, begins to see what's happening, he tried to kill Jeroboam. He tried to kill the person God has raised up to rule the 10 tribes. He was not successful. But it's shocking, to me at least, that having been told by God, this is what I'm going to do in the way of judgment, he'd say, well, I can stop that. Does that tell you something about his heart? Is that a little like Herod in the New Testament? Who wants to know where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Okay, find out exactly where it is so that I too can go and worship him. But his goal was not to go and worship. It was to kill the Messiah. God thwarted his plan, even though all the children in that region were slaughtered. Just a note. It is absolute insanity to try and fight against God. It is absolute insanity to try and fight against God. It is absolute insanity to try and fight against God. I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, how much influence you have, who all's on your side. I don't care. It's a speck of dust compared to God. God knows everything. God has all power. God controls your heartbeats. God is in control. And if you want to fight against Him, you're walking in insanity. I plead with you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Call upon Him to have mercy on you and invite Him to rule and reign in and through you. Because it is a wonderful thing to be the Lord's child. And it is a dreadful thing to be His enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that You have chosen to show us mercy. Please help us to believe Your word and to trust in You. Forgive us for our sins. Help us not only to confess, but to repent and to turn from evil. Give us the power to do what is right. And we'll give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.